We'll begin this Wednesday broadcast or chapter and verse with this important point from Mike McIntosh.
In verse 19, we get the same thing from all the other churches. I want you to look at that and remember that. He says, I know. You think nobody knows what you're hiding in your little heart? God knows. You can't hide from Him. And if tonight you're hiding things, let it be the last night ever that you'll stop that and grow up. You can't hide from Him.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise You, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank You, Lord Jesus.
Welcome to the Wednesday broadcast or chapter and verse with Mike McIntosh. Our current series takes us to the book of Revelation, where the second and third chapters are devoted to reporting the words of Jesus to the church. These passages of Scripture have application to the early church, the church throughout history, and to individual types of Christians. If you're able, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2 as we join Mike for our next study, the letter to the church at Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.
Father, may you take these four letters to the church, and though a couple of them are somewhat short, they all have impact, and we'd like to ask that you would apply it to our lives, our Christian walk, our love for people, and our love for you. Would you please just take with your Holy Spirit, your blessings, and touch every man, every woman, every person that is listening on the radio, which we know is in the hundreds, if not larger, but we're part of that, just like the two instruments being a part of the same music. So we want to be used by you, and we want to know how you think and how you move, how you have your whole being, and that we could be more like you as our Father. Many of us have struggled with who our fathers were or who our Father wasn't. And you are our Father now. And we'd like to ask that you'd use us to love other people in a way that could change their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're at the Church of Thyatira. It is often called the corrupt church. Again, these were existing seven churches in the area of Asia at that time. They were representative of church ages throughout the last 2,000 years. And they represent seven different styles of church that would be in the world today. This one was a corrupt church. So in these 11 verses, we can learn quite a bit and apply it even to our own lives. Because ultimately, as today, I caught myself repenting for several things and just for a couple more things, just in case I didn't know there was any more there to repent of. I fear God, and I want to be more like Him, but it's impossible in my flesh to be pleasing to Him. So we have to continually, remember He said, pick up your cross daily, not just one time. You pick it up every day, and you follow Him. You don't lead the way. You follow where Jesus is going. So let's note Jesus in verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, saith the Son of God. And then He describes Himself. And remember, all seven letters have a piece of the description that He gave in chapter 1 of what He looked like. And that's the revelation, the unveiling, the apocalypse of Jesus. Now to this church, He is the Son of God, but who has eyes like a flame of fire, and His feet are like brass. I know your works. I know your charity and your service and your faith and your patience and your works, and the last to be more than your first. But, however, notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. And I guess with me, it could be a few dozen or hundred things. So remember that one church only had one thing. They'd left their first love. This one, it's got a few things that are wrong. Because, and what is it? You suffer the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things that are sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So now it's personal. But unto you I say, and unto the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, so this sexual perversion and this prophetess attitude of this woman, Jezebel, that you don't have this, but you're a member of the church, and which have not known, notice this, the depths of Satan. And I venture to say that before I knew the Lord, I knew who he was, and he knew who I was. And they will speak, not knowing the depths of Satan, they will speak as they do. I will put upon you nor the burden. So if you've backed away from the things of your past life, he's saying, I'm not talking to you about this problem. But that which you have already, whatever has changed in your life, that's he's talking to all of us, that he's given us a break. He gives patience in waiting before he judges in all of our lives. And we've got to be grateful. So as many that have not this doctrine, which has not known the depths of Satan, you're not going into the dark side anymore, they speak, I will put no other burden upon you, but that which you already have, hold fast until I come. So whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, only you know the depths of your heart and what you've been through and what God has truly done inside of you. And I can tell he's done a lot. And I'm a person that he did a lot with, and I'm a very grateful person. And I've seen him do great and mighty things, and I want him to continue till I'm 127. I will put no other burden on you. That's good to hear. But what you have, you already have, hold fast. Don't ever turn around. You'll be like a dog going back to his vomit. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the very end, that's the person. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in slivers, as I received of my father. I'll give him the morning star, and if you have the ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So, he said something to all of us in this room just now, and I have no clue what he said to you, or what he said in the back row or the middle row, but he's speaking to us. That's the promise from night one that we got together. There is a blessing to those that hear and those that read these words. And the blessing is, God himself wants to walk with you every day. A man came up to me before the service, and he said, I need your prayer. And I said, absolutely, what can I pray for? He said, I lost all the feeling in my left arm, and my lips and my mouth have gone numb. I said, you've got to get to the doctor right now. Go to the emergency room. He was in the house of the Lord, and he knew to pray. He's not here right now. He's in that emergency room. God will intercede with you and help you and be patient with you. He'll give you space like he promised here. I gave her space to repent, even though she didn't. There comes a time when you can exhaust his patience, I think, and he turns us over to a reprobate heart, a hard heart, that we don't want to listen to him anymore. So now that you can listen, hold fast till he comes. Don't let it go. The devil's going to try to steal everything he can from you. And I want to remind you again here, this was a wealthy community. It's in Asia, Asia Minor, as it was known in the first century, a colony of Macedonian Greeks. And it's between two of the churches, Sardis and Pergamos. And it's on the river called Lycus. Its inhabitants gained their living by traffic. and the art of dyeing purple. Purple was the color of royalty. And you'll remember in the book of Acts chapter 16, around verse 10 through 15 or so, the Apostle Paul came to this area of the world and planted the first church. And he met a woman by the riverside. It was lunch hour. And these ladies were all sitting there working for Lydia. And Lydia was a seller of purple. So the ladies with her were the ones that would dye the fine cloth, turn it into purple, probably using the water from the river. And then she became wealthy. But she knew the Lord. And she had a prayer meeting going on with the women. And that's where Paul went to. But you got to remember that Paul had a dream a few nights before. And it was a man from Macedonia, that area of the world. But when he gets there, it's a woman that God is going to use. So that's a lesson to always remember, that you want to go every step that God asks you to go. But you may look and see one thing, but he's got another plan. And Paul is immediately flexible, and he starts to pray. They take him under the wing. They start providing for him so he can minister in the area. So it became popular to the early church. In verse 19, we get the same thing from all the other churches. I want you to look at that and remember that. He says, I know. You think nobody knows what you're hiding in your little heart? God knows. You can't hide from him. And if tonight you're hiding things, let it be the last night ever that you'll stop that and grow up. You can't hide from him. Adam, where are you? I'm over here. Where are you? You know, it's once said that he wasn't out of control, that he didn't know where Adam was. That was like the voice of an arresting police officer say, hold it, stop. What are you doing? Where are you? Do you know what you're into right now? Well, they had seen that they're naked. Well, who told you you were naked? They were talking with the devil. The minute you start talking with the devil and he gets your attention, he wants to dance. And the minute you start dancing with the devil, he's got you. You don't want to do that anymore. And so he said, who told you you're naked? God never told him. You see, he lost his innocency. There came a time when all of us as adults lost our innocence. Some of you remember what time that was and where it was. But Adam and Eve lost their innocency. And they were ashamed to be seen naked. Isn't that interesting? And they sewed together fig leaves. And they say fig leaves are the most gross, rough, tough, itchy, scratchy, put around your naked body. Shows how dumb mankind is from the very beginning. And here we are, thousands of years later. Every man, before he walks in a room, checks his zipper. Women are checking their hems and skirts and pulling up their dress, and guys are fixing their shirts. Don't want to have anything exposed. Today's society, it's almost like everybody wants everything exposed. So we've so far from God's grace. But he knows. And what does he know? He knows one thing: works, two, charity, service, faith, four, patience, five, six, works. And the last are more than the first. So what does he know? Well, first he chose a great word. The word work found 152 times in the Bible. So he chose that word. Sometimes this word was translated 22 different times to mean a deed, but he didn't choose that form. And then it was used one time in doing, being busy, or secondly, labor. So you're working at it. Now he says, I choose the word works. I know you're a hard worker. And they were a hard working group of people as Christians. He's admitting that. And your last works, I'll go on record to say, I pat you on the back. You're really working out. You're really doing it. And you're working hard at it. So I think it's important we realize he knows all the good things we're doing, but he knows all the things we're covering up by doing those good things. And this work was the business, the employment that anyone is occupied with. That word works. They act alone, doing their deed. The idea of working is actually chosen as a word to mean the opposite of doing very little. So these were tough Christians. They were in this corrupted church that had a false prophetess, a woman, that said she is a prophetess. Now I want to tell you something. Over 5 decades, this doctrine has been around. And it's all over in San Diego of women getting involved in a false ministry that are prophetesses now. And some of those women were little girls when I meant their family, but now they are really up there in the Lord. And they want you to know it. They're a prophetess. And I've got the answer for you. Nobody has the answer for you. God has the answer for you. And it's already in His Word. You don't need some supernatural spiritual person telling you how to live your life. You have ears to hear. And He said this 7 times. He who has ears to hear. Listen to the words of Jesus. And so He brings this church up that had fallen for this false doctrine of Jezebel, and that she was into sexual sin. And then there were fake believers that said they're Jews, but they're from the synagogue of Satan. And all this false doctrine is floating through all these churches. And He says, I'm going to tell you what, she likes being in bed, I'll cast her into a bed of great tribulation. Now we realize we're not to the last church, but this church is being told, I'm going to cast you into a great tribulation that's going to try the whole world. Isn't that interesting? Then the last church from Laodicea and the church of Philadelphia, you realize the church of love is going to inherit the kingdom. And that's the one that's going to go when it's time to go. And so you look at this and you say, how can people become like this because we're people? So He says, if you're not carrying this doctrine, I'm not pointing at you. I want you to overcome and keep My works, not the works of some prophetess, until the very end. And I will give you power. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, He says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he, that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. For I know, there you go again, I know your works, that you have a name, that you live, but you're dead. I want you to stop and pause on that for a moment. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live and are dead. Now there's 3 short letters that we're going to close with. Sardis, which we're going to look at here, it literally means red ones. Like red vine licorice, I guess? I don't know. Red ones is what it means. It was a capital of Lydia, where the river flowed through and they made their money selling purple. It was in the minor part of Asia. It was a very rich and wealthy, luxurious city. And then the 2nd letter is Philadelphia. And I'd like you to write its name down. It's 2 words. It means brotherly love. It's the church of love. And this is the church that represents Jesus. And the 3rd short message is Laodicea. And that's the 7th church. And it talks about Laodicea. In fact, He told one church, be sure to read the letter to the Laodiceans. They had something going on that this church needed to grow from. And so we need the church. We need the body of Christ. We're not the only way to think or act. We need one another as brothers and sisters around the world. Now, this was an interesting place because its name, Laodicea, means justice of the people. And it wasn't far from the city of Colossae, where we have the letter to the Colossians. In 66 AD, a huge earthquake hit and destroyed the city. And then Marcus Aurelius rebuilt it after the earthquake. Now, I don't know if you follow the news, but last week we had an earthquake, and it hit in the Middle East. Syria was hit by it, and Turkey. First, it said there was like 2,000 people killed. Then, after several hours, it was 2,700 people. It's over 17,000 that they've uncovered that are injured, and 8,000 as of early this morning that have died. Thousands of buildings have crumbled, but it's below zero freezing. And I saw pictures of a little boy and a little girl. She looked like the bigger sister, as little as they were, like 5, 6 years old. Underneath some crushed buildings, trying not to shiver to death. They're laying there right now as you and I are sitting in this room, all warm and comfortable. This city, this church, reminds us when you hear earthquake, Jesus said a sign of his coming, earthquakes all around the world will increase. And they have increased way beyond anything. The people listening in the Midwest, they had the most powerful earthquake in the history of the United States of America, the New Madrid Fault. And it was so powerful that when it ruptured in Missouri, it made the Mississippi River flow backwards and changed its course. It was so powerful that it rang church bells in Boston, Massachusetts. It's many years overdue from its next earthquake. And when it happens, it'll change the economy and the direction of the United States of America. Now, Wyoming has a problem. Wyoming has what's known as the world's largest supervolcano. There are, I think, 23 supervolcanoes, 16, 23. This is the largest of all of them. The mouth is over 400 square miles. You know it as Old Faithful in Yellowstone National Park. The facts are that when it explodes, and it's been rumbling the last 3 years and getting new vents, and new vents mean in earthquake language, it's trying to stop itself from exploding. It will immediately destroy, evaporate every bit of animal, plant, and human life. First, 5 years ago, was 60-mile circle. Now it's 100 miles. Instantaneous frying of the people. The smoke will rise, and the ashes, because they get up higher, will turn to a crystallization. 50% of the American people are going to die. As the winds from the West Coast shift over the country, it's going to wipe out all the Midwest farming land, and famine will come. And by the time it gets to the East Coast and it falls through the air and people are breathing it, it's going to be shredding their throats, their lungs, and we're going to lose about 150 million people, they say. That's way overdue. So ladies and gentlemen in the Midwest, we here in Roman land, we're going to do what? Thank you. They need our prayers. Desperately. But it's going to then go across the Atlantic, and it'll bring famine into all of Europe. Just those two things happening in our country are going to wipe us out. If nothing more than the economy. However, there is Oregon and Washington. And on the coast of Oregon, there is a Pacific plate that comes up against the landmass called the Cascadia Fault, which is Mount Shasta, it's Mount St. Helens, Mount Rainier, Mount Adams, Mount Baker, that spine of volcanoes from Washington into Oregon. And that is about 50 years over. And one of my brothers was 4 times in the Oregon legislature, and I asked him about this, and he said, we wrote legislation to help, but there's nothing we can do. Well, I said, tell me, why? It'll hit Mendocino, California, and Mendocino just 4 weeks ago, about Christmas time, had earthquakes coming out of it. It'll go all the way up the Oregon coast and the Washington coast to Vancouver, British Columbia, and it'll wipe out all the bridges, all the roads, and all the towns that are on the coast. And if they had 10,000 helicopters, they couldn't evacuate all the people in time. The tsunami that's going to come along the coast is going to be about 90-some feet tall. And in Seaside, Oregon, next to Astoria, Oregon, the school district built under where they should have at about 45 feet, and it'll be 45 feet underwater, all the schools in that town, when it hits. There'll be no getting away from it.
Preparations for the return of the King. That's been our topic today on Chapter and Verse. Mark your Bible right here in the third chapter of Revelation, and we'll resume right here tomorrow at this time. Before we end our time together for today, let me remind you that podcasts of Chapter and Verse teachings are available to download. That's right. You can have Pastor Mike's weekday teachings downloaded through this service, and you won't miss a minute of these messages. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse. It's easy and it's free. Just go to our website, MikeMacintosh.com, and under the teaching link, you'll see podcast. There you'll find simple step-by-step instructions so your device will automatically receive each day's message from Chapter and Verse. Your life takes all kinds of unexpected turns. Now you can take Chapter and Verse teachings with you wherever you go. Podcasting of Chapter and Verse, available now at MikeMacintosh.com. We'll find more practical instruction from the book of Revelation next time on CNV with Pastor Mike. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.